spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, let your love flow. Standing on an endless horizon.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awaken to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
And then some. Well, I'm walking on sunlight, yeah. Lately, I've been feeling better and better about the things I don't know about and which ones troubled me, even though I didn't know what they were. I feel like the way I used to feel on Easter mornings before the sun came up. I don't know why, but I definitely don't mind. Visible's in the saucer pod this evening, spinning lazy circles over teal waters. And thinking about what it would be like if I were to land on that sandbar and walk along its perimeter, believing that that is where I might wind up once all of this blows over. I often dream on that long and narrow sandbar, which is connected to a larger landmass some hundreds of meters away, and that you can walk to through thigh-high waters. It's the place I imagine I will spend some time in as I consider my motivations for coming here this time and think about where I want to go next, given the tickets and permissions. As above, so below. Above has customs checks at certain borders as well as various authorities who keep an eye out in order to be of assistance as opposed to resistance. If your behavior in this recent time calls for you to go below, the authority is much more pervasive and palpable than it was in this Middle Earth. It's not all emergent beauty, serendipitous engagements, and bright expectations here. I have things that could trouble me, but given my understanding of the conditions and events that went on during the thing or things I could be concerned about, I don't feel that bad. Bear with me on what follows. I have good reasons. I had something happen not long ago that I am sure some number of people wish had occurred in a different way. However, sometimes smaller injuries are necessary to protect ourselves and others from much greater injuries to follow. And if you don't test the waters in the area of your concern, you'll not have the necessary information about what breeds and feeds in those waters. I have presently a small problem that involves transferring some money. I certainly want to transfer the money, but it's possible that another transfer that is supposed to take place at the same time won't occur. I'm a telepath. I've been that way for a long time. I'm not the sort of person who goes through people's laundry. I could, because it has happened on occasion by accident when it was something that needed to come to my attention, but most of the time, I stay informed only about surface intentions and nothing else. This discretion has cost me on occasion, but I still believe that people's private being is just that, except when it might affect me in a harmful or dangerous manner. Usually, a little buzzer goes off, but not always. Those are the times the cosmos wants me not to know for the purpose of demonstration. I want to talk about an event without getting into particulars, because it might be that someone out there could help me out with a temporary escrow situation, so the transfer runs smoothly. The situation I'm talking about came about because someone who was engaged in manipulation came to believe that I was. Well, there was no evidence of this, but the fact that it was already taking place on the other end made it seem likely. This is often the case. We often suspect people's motivations to be a mirror of our own. Actually, what I was engaged in was talking someone out of departing because they were offended by precisely what is under discussion here. Now, I don't mean to be negative concerning anyone. Certain behaviors are part of human nature, and if I get all worked up about any of them, then people would have as much right to get worked up about me. Now, there wouldn't be a problem had I not contacted some principals in this manner, seeking their assistance. This came about because someone close to me, very close, got an email from a major player in whatever it is I'm talking about, and for some reason, I wasn't informed about it until after I had reached out for help. I'm told that the email consisted of a plea for me to stop talking bad about someone. Now, the weird thing is, I wasn't doing this and hadn't done it except maybe for a certain amount of explanation to people confused about the whole affair way back when it happened. It took me a little while to realize that this was the same thing as my being accused of the other thing, because that is what was happening on the other end. How I know that is that when I went to ask for nothing more than a little advice from someone who was formerly a supporter of mine and even a friend, at least in my own mind, I was told to screw off, which came as a real surprise. The other person I wrote wouldn't even answer me. So I think it's pretty evident that something, God only knows what, got said, and either the people who heard it believed it, or they were finally so disgusted by whatever they'd been hearing on the other end, due to the content and the amount of it, that they were just tired of the whole affair. Well, there isn't actually anything that can be said because everything was witnessed, though I will say that things not witnessed, periods when I was alone, were painted in a way that had nothing to do with reality. How do I know this? I was there. I'm my only witness, but I generally always tell the truth, except in cases where it'll hurt people's feelings. I try to avoid that. The only other example is when someone wants the answer to something that they have no right to receive, and then I sometimes engage in a bit of skirting, keeping in mind that dancing around the truth is not the same thing as lying, when you don't actually replace it with something else. Ah, what a justification. Anyway, see, this is the kind of thing that happens when the truth is not enough. People feel compelled to make things up, and they believe if they keep repeating them, that they will become true, and the unfortunate irony is that the whole thing came out of a projection and a self-deception that came about because the person so engaged believed the other person was doing the same thing. For some reason, it escapes me. When this person found out the truth, they were unable to simply step back, admit it, and move on. It became a kind of investment that had to be maintained despite the obvious cost. At the end of the situation involving people who will not be named and in which no real identities environments will be mentioned, everything seems to have been worked out, it seemed at the time, and left in a way that things could proceed and in which time would work to the advantage of all the adults in the room. Instead, mere hours afterward, serious bad vibrations based on things that did not happen came looking for me and became quite demanding and imperious and managed to defy logic as well. Then over the course of following days, I heard from people who had been contacted and told the most outrageous tales, which thankfully none of them believed. This sort of thing kept up, but I stopped hearing about it until I heard that I was saying things I had never said or even discussed. I don't linger in those zones, and I'm always seeking either to fix things where possible or leave them in the hands of God, who is real good at that kind of thing. The interesting thing is that the final result justified my testing the waters in spades to begin with. I often know why I do things, but sometimes I don't. Invariably, though, I find out later, and in this case, I was amazed. I can honestly say I would have rather been wrong. Now I find myself in the position of not knowing what to do about taking care of a financial matter because I can't trust in the integrity at the other end to do the right thing because the right thing hasn't happened yet. I guess you could call it an impasse. I very much want to do the right thing, but I'll be darned if I know how. All of this reminds me of what recently happened to Jeff Rentz. Like anyone in his position would, Jeff has enemies. Meanwhile, he works 14 hours a day, every day of the week, bringing the news to people, and he's been doing it longer and more consistently than anyone else. Because of him, many people have gotten big exposure. Jeff has advanced many a career. He certainly advanced the career of a particular fellow who, by his own admission, gains 50% of his revenue from the exposure that Jeff gave him. This fellow wanted Jeff to link to an article that Jeff disagreed with. It was an article about which Jeff knows a great deal. This fellow, who contributes nothing to Jeff's benefit, but is only the recipient of Jeff's generosity, went on a slanderous tear attacking Jeff on multiple websites. All sorts of fictitious things were said about Jeff's personal life. A big deal was made about irrelevant things having nothing to do with the situation. Jeff had to go through all of this crap because it got between someone and what they wanted. He didn't meet expectations where no expectations should have existed. This is the kind of thing that goes on in these days. The acrimony is through the roof, and the reactions to situations are out of all proportion to the reality of the situation. There's so much tension in the world due to the accumulation of pressure from financial concerns. People are losing their jobs and their houses. They're losing their friends because the friends would accept their observations on what's happening in the world, even though borderline intellects can see through most of them without any trouble. The people who can't or won't see are possessed of a great deal of guilt, anger, and contempt for themselves because they know they're being cowards. They turn up the volume on their earbuds, but it doesn't shut out what's playing inside their heads. There's a climate that's created by the collective consciousness of the people in the world. It's weather just like the weather you see every day, and it affects your mood. Most people are not centered enough to process this pressure, so it comes out in various forms of offensive behavior toward their fellows and their family. The powers that are, and which will sooner or later become the powers that were, are using this pressure to create the very situation so many of us find ourselves in today, and it behooves all of us to keep that in mind so that we know the source and don't mistake whatever is handy as being responsible for the problems and frustrations. We are at a critical point in the world and in our lives, and much hangs upon how we handle what we come up against. People are losing it in many ways: spontaneous violence, mass shootings, suicide, and the like. Only a fool is unaware of all the forces running around loose at the moment. This is one of the reasons I so often mention talking to God and developing an intimacy with God, because there is no greater source of help and comfort than the divine. The opportunity to reach the divine has not been so great in a long time, and that is why people are being constantly distracted by the world, because that is the world's job as well as the job of the prince of this world. That is what's happening to us. We need to keep that in mind. There are negative energies impacting on us quite severely at the moment, and we have to take steps to make it possible for us to transmute or sidestep them, and that kind of help comes only from one place, regardless of the medium we receive it through. The gates of at least two separate worlds are opening up at the moment. One is toward the celestial realms, and one is toward the infernal. And pressure is coming down for those inclined in either direction. For those indecisive about commitment to either, the situation is really difficult. In these cases, most of the time, people don't know what's involved, or it isn't something they give much thought to, but it is giving a great deal of thought to them. This is one of the things that perplexes me about people. They behave as if what they do isn't going to have some future consequences, or that somehow they can paint reality according to the way they want it to be viewed. But the forces that control all of this are absolutely impartial and rigorously and inflexibly geared toward clarity and truth. Such is the nature of karma. Not only does it inevitably find its way to resolution, but it also informs the participants, because otherwise it would be useless. Unless the meaning of one's behavior is made clear to them, they have no idea what any of it meant, outside of their conscience being their guide. And karma is a big deal. Except for the obvious cases, you don't even get here without it. It has everything to do with where you're born, who you're born to, and all other patterns and idiosyncrasies that make you what you are. People can always adjust their karma, but seldom does it enter their minds to do so. All kinds of things can be fixed, but there's this ancient resistance in people toward doing the right thing. And that all goes back to the prince of this world, who lives inside us in the form of our negative personality qualities and our shortcomings. These are magnetic lodestones that provide a residence for our oldest, most long-standing enemy. There's another magnetic lodestone that provides a residence for the divine. The divine will not reside if other qualities are present, and the infernal or his agents will not reside if certain qualities are in place. That is why in a particular religion they say, "Namaste, I salute the God within you." If we're conscious of recognizing the divine in those that we meet, then we invoke the divine to be present. Many people invoke the infernal in each other. You get what you're looking for. If you make the divine a part of everyone you meet and everything that happens to you, you will be living in heaven on earth, and that is the idea of the ideal of existence here. The most important progress that can be made is made here, while in the body. Some may go to heaven upon passing from this realm, but there are others who arrive there before leaving, and that is what you want. And you can have that if you're consistent and determined and want it more than anything else. That is the main key. You simply have to want it more than anything else. And how you demonstrate that is by making the divine the centerpiece of your existence. It's not some complex magical art. It doesn't require all sorts of specialized study. It requires persistence and determination. Very simple people achieve it. God awaits in every moment. If you speak to God and God doesn't answer and you decide that God isn't there, then you've made the cardinal error that so many people make. God is not a bellhop. God does not work for Domino's Pizza. God is listening, but God answers in his own way and his own time. You wouldn't have spoken to him in the first place if he hadn't prompted you, although you may have no recall of that. God does not answer you with a spoken voice only. God answers in events and situations. God answers in the urgings of the heart and the suggestions of the intuition. The voice comes later, once the traffic has become more subdued. Or you could think of it in terms of vision. When you're burning leaves, you get a great deal of smoke. You get some kind of smoke with most fires, and then you get your blue flames and your blue-white flames. Sincere and informed seekers know that you have to tune down the dial of your desires. Like Lao Tzu said, the secret is to cut down on senseless craving. This also has a voice, and it drowns out the other voice. The other voices have to be stilled, or you can't hear the still, small voice. The world is dialed up to high at the moment, and so one has to dial down the noise of their personal world. Well, I don't know what the result of all these things are going to be. I'm trying to think my way around something and do the right thing, but my heart tells me I won't find it here. I have to go within and ask, And I'll get an answer in some unusual way that, well, it'll be exactly the right course for me to follow. Now, I hope everyone who comes here avails themselves of the opportunity to contact the one who has all the answers, instead of relying on their own wits and acumen. This always leads to problems, because self-interest is at the bottom of most of what we want. Most of what we think we want is colored by excuses and rationales we give ourselves, but which really just comes down to, like, me first, you later, maybe. And that is something we should always keep in mind, to investigate our motives for why we do things. Yes. Yes. Self-inquiry, it's called. Okay, my friends, we have come to the end of another broadcast. And I'll see you next time, if there is one. In the meantime, take all your concerns, all your hopes and fears, to the one who is responsible for every good outcome. Surround yourself with the firm conviction of the eternal presence, and sooner or later, that presence will make itself known. That said, Hare Krishna, Aloha, and Haru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.